Today on the Believer's Voice of Victory, Gloria Copeland and special guest Billy Grimm show how the spirit of man is renewed by God's love when we receive Jesus as the Lord and Savior of our life.
Hello, everybody. I'm Gloria Copeland. Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory. We have my special friend and your special friend here today, Billy Grimm, and she's going to be talking to us about our words, which are extremely important, especially when you think about the fact that the Bible teaches us you can have what you say. Mm-hmm. Billy, didn't that change your life when
changed
you heard Brother Hagin
teach that? That's what I wanted to start with today. You know what influence.
Let me tell everybody who you are. Billy Grimm from Prayer Mountain. In the Ozarks. Billy Grimm from Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks. Our good friend.
For a long time.
Welcome, Billy.
We've been good friends since the 1960s, late 1960s, when our lives were changed when we came under the ministry of Kenneth E. Hagin.
Yes, that's right.
You know what an influence he had on our lives. That was at the end of the charismatic, well, it was in the charismatic renewal days, and I came and I heard him teach there in Tulsa, Oklahoma. You and Ken came.
Yes, we
and
were there.
If I'm not mistaken,
our first meeting
after you and Ken, I think I've heard. Correct me if I'm wrong on this. Ken, when he was born again, his mother then gave him a tape, or else he heard it at her house by Kenneth E. Hagin.
Well, it was much later than that.
Was it later?
Mm-hmm.
Much later, but it was
but
in the 60s.
Heard that. Yeah,
you
he
say?
Heard. Yeah, the 50s,
60s.
Yeah, it had probably to be. In the 60s.
Because
yeah, we
Brother Hagin hadn't made that tape until then.
We were married.
And I heard him tell about when he heard a tape by Kenneth E. Hagin called, You Can Have What You Say.
That's right.
That by the time he finished listening to that tape, he was under the coffee table.
That's right. That is exactly right. I was there.
That's right. And that that changed our lives.
Oh, my.
And I want to talk about this week. What have you done with speech? What have you done with your gift of intelligent speech? And I want to go back to Brother Hagin, and I want to establish that it is a gift and that we are accountable for our gifts. And, of course, Brother Hagin had such an influence on my life. I worked for him for 10 years, Kenneth E. Hagin Sr. I edited his books, and then I stayed very close to him. He ordained me in 1980. I went out into the full-time ministry, but I always stayed close to him. And I heard him, the last time I heard him was July 2003 at his annual camp meeting in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And then I went on a trip, really, kind of around the world, and when I was in Singapore, I heard that he had gone on to be with the Lord in September. So this was July before I heard him in September. And as he was preaching there, he entitled his message, What Have You Done With Love? And, of course, my mind went back to the first time I ever taught him, heard him speak on teaching in love. It was in the 1970s. I was working for him. I was his editor of publications. And when I heard him teach on divine love, it changed my life. The last 16 years of our marriage, and my husband went home to be with the Lord in about 16 years after that, were so much better than the first 14 years.
Because
of me. And I would have told you it because of him. You know, I mean, after all, I'm sanctified, righteous, never miss church, all this and that. But then I learned from Brother Hagin that I was not truly walking in love. And when I heard him teach on love, and you'd be sure to want to get his books and tapes on this, because he teaches love not so much that, well, I just got to grit my teeth and walk in love, you know, but that you can do it because divine love was a gift imparted by God to your spirit the day you got born again. And that came into you, and Brother Hagin taught it from Romans 5:5. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. The love of God, the divine love, not natural human love.
That's right.
But the divine God kind of love, on the moment you got born again, when you said in your heart that you believe God raised Jesus from the dead and you ask him to become your Lord and confessed him with your mouth, then instantly the spirit man inside you became a new creation. sense that in mm-hmm. the Bible. Mm-hmm. And that new creation, that species that never was before, has within it God's divine Hallelujah. Love. You are given that gift, and then that is, now man is three part.
Right.
1 Thessalonians 5:23, he is a spirit. He has a soul, his mind, his will, and emotions, and he lives in a body. And the love of God, the day you're born again, gets shed abroad in your spirit, not your mind. You have to renew the mind. Not in your body. You still got the same color of hair you had and same color of eyes. You have to present your body a living sacrifice. But your spirit becomes a new creation, born again, and the love of God is shed abroad in your heart. So you have the divine love that can cause you to walk in love.
You're born of God. God is love.
God is love.
You have it.
And you're born of his seed. And so you are a love child. And you have love in you, and you are then to feed your spirit, and you are to let that love inside you dominate your mind and dominate your body, and then you can walk in love with others. It's very hard to walk in love if you don't know these principles and know that it's something in there that you can call up by the laws of faith.
Yes.
And what are those laws of faith? You see something in the Word, you believe it in your heart, and you speak it with your mouth. So how does love behave? It behaves the way God's Word says it behaves. 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 8. And especially we like the Amplified Translation, which says love is patient. Love endures long and is patient and kind. Love is not jealous. Love does not notice a suffered wrong. Takes no account of the evil done to it. And so Brother Hagin then taught, if you're behaving like that, then the love that's in your heart is dominating you.
Yeah.
If you're not behaving like that, then you need to feed that on that scripture, 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8, and until it bubbles up out of you.
It grows up. We grow up in love.
Yes. Now, Brother Hagin taught that last time I heard him, and I'd heard him, now this is 2003, I'm hearing him, July. And I've heard him teach this since the 70s. And it's the last camp meeting, and I can tell you, Gloria, it was so anointed. But I thought the message that he wanted to leave before he left Earth is, you have a gift of divine love, and you're going to be held responsible for it. Now, his title was, What Have You Done With Love? What have you done with this gift that's inside you? And when Brother Hagin taught about gifts of God, he always taught that we're accountable for them. And there will come a day of accountability. Did you walk in this divine love? And he always likened it to the talents to prove to you that you're held responsible and accountable for what God gives you. And so we can see that in Matthew chapter 25. Now, we're going somewhere with this. Don't leave us for 2 weeks because we're going somewhere with this. And in Matthew 25, we hear the story of a parable of a man traveling, verse 14. The kingdom of God is as a man traveling into a far country. He called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. Unto one he gave 5 talents, unto another 2, unto another 1. And then when he came back from that trip, he asked them for an accounting of how they treated and what they did with those talents. And so the man with the 5 talents came, he answered this, verse 20. And likewise, verse 20. And he that received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, you delivered unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. So the same thing happened with the man with the 2 talents. He invested them. He did well with them. And the Lord blessed him and said, Well done, good and faithful servant. And that's what you want to hear.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Now he comes to the 1 talent guy. Verse 24. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee, that thou art an hard man, reaping, he didn't really know him, reaping where thou hast not sown, gathering where thou hast not strawed, and I was afraid, fear, and went and hid your talent in the earth. And lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not and gather where I did not straw. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers. Verse 28, take therefore the talent from him and give it unto the one that has 10 talents. And so we see that this one talent guy wrapped up his gift of God, put it in the earth, and no one ever knew he had it. Well, that is what Brother Hagin always taught when he was teaching on love. Some people do with love. They're born again, but they're the meanest things, you know. I mean, have you ever seen some mean Christians?
Yes.
Sorry to say. Oh, I wish it were not so. I wish I'd never seen one in my life. But sometimes they're so mean, and sometimes they're so mean to each other. And so Brother Hagin said, you know, the Bible says they're going to know we're Christians by our love. So that love's supposed to be manifesting out to the world.
You're supposed to be able to see it.
Supposed to be able to see it. Right. Well, Brother Hagin said, what some Christians have done is like wrap it up, and it's down there inside them. But they don't let it dominate them. Let it loose. Manifest it. And so his teaching about love is how to do that. And it's marvelous. It's just, it changed my life. I thought I was walking in love, and I wasn't, when I learned how love really behaves. And so then he taught that we would be accountable for the gift of love. Now, I said all that to say this. I want to talk about a gift that's given not just to born-again Christians, but to mankind. And this gift was given a long time before God ever gave the gift of divine love. It was given 4,000 years before, and it was given to the first man and given to all mankind. It is the gift that sets apart mankind from every other creature, every other life form, creature, animals. We're set apart by one thing. And it's a powerful gift. The Bible says we will be accountable for it. The gift, intelligent speech. When we talk about accountability, we have to look no further than Jesus' words in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 37. These are words that are, if you ponder them, they give you cause to reflect. So Matthew chapter 12 and verse 37. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Now look at what's the thing here? Your words. By your words you're justified, or by your words you're judged or condemned. Verse 36, if you just go back a verse, Jesus said, I say unto you, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned.
Go back to 34 before you leave
there. All righty. Oh, yes,
we're going backwards.
That's right, and sometimes you need to do that to look at verses. It ends with, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Now, words are connected to your spirit. Your spirit's your heart. Out of what's in your spirit, your mouth's going to speak.
That's right.
The abundance that's in there. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say to you, every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Now there's a real clue in here. I mean, it's just not talking about cussing and, you know, things like that. King James says, idle words. And some other translations that I looked up, the Amplified says, every idle, non-working word. Your words are supposed to work. The New American says, every careless word. Rotherham says, every useless expression. We see that our gift of intelligent speech is to be working. God gave it to man to work it, to work it in the earth. God created the world with words.
That's right.
And then he gave man.
That's the way God works.
Yes, that's how God works. And then he gave man this gift of intelligent speech to work in the earth. In fact, Adam was supposed to see what he could do in a six-day work week, 1,000 years being a day and a day 1,000 years, like God did in a six-day work week. And Adam took those words and named the animals. So he worked it a while. And it was to create around him, excuse me, and in this earth, and he was to do it with the power of words.
That's right.
Now, this is a gift of God, this intelligent speech. He didn't give it to the elephants, gave it to man. And we are going to be responsible for our gift of intelligent speech. I think, Gloria, that we barely, even we who grasp this truth, don't really see the fullness of it. But now I believe that in this year, 2008, I believe you're going to see the church, particularly, come into a place where our words are going to help in this end time move and the plans of God that he wants to bring into this earth.
Praise God.
Now, I want to do some deep study now.
Oh, boy.
Say D-E-E-P, deep.
D-D.
And you're going to, we'll have to finish this up tomorrow because we don't have time, but we'll at least enter into it today. You see this great, big, huge book?
Oh, I don't have that book.
You don't need this book.
Oh.
And the people don't...
Is it too deep?
It's too D-E-E-P.
Right.
No, I'm just teasing. It's too heavy. I carried this thing back.
But
this
I have seen him quoted a lot.
Oh, Onkelos. Yeah, and we're going to talk about him. Actually, what I recommend you get is this little Chumash, the stone edition of the Chumash, who tells you what Onkelos says. Now, I hear people saying this a lot. And I let's read Genesis 2:7. Let's read it first out of our King James Bible. We're going to show you about this gift of speech. Genesis 2:7.
Don't you just love the Bible, Billy?
I just love it. Look
Isn't
at this.
Isn't it wonderful? I'm excited.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the earth and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Now, the Hebrew language is the language that God created the earth with. And you know what it says in Genesis 1? And God said, and God said, and God said, and God said. He said it, he spoke words, and it became, and the words he spoke were Hebrew. It's a great language. Now, there is a Hebrew word, ruach, and that word is variously translated in the King James Bible, breath, wind, spirit. So when it says spirit, it's that word, ruach. Now, we're going to go to the stone edition of the Chumash, and I do think this is a really good one for you to get. And this stone edition of the Chumash, the first 5 books of the Bible, you could get it from Art Scrolls, who prints it. You could get it from Kenneth and Gloria Copeland. You can get it from us.
It's wonderful.
It's a wonderful book.
I just love it.
And now here's how they translate that verse. And Hashem God formed the man of dust from the ground, and he blew into his nostrils the soul of life, and man became a living being. Now, in this Chumash edition, right here, Gloria, is the Hebrew, original Hebrew. Over here is the English translation. Here are comments of the sages. But you see the center column here?
Mm-hmm. I don't ever read that
You
part.
Never read this no, part here. Well, I'll show you back from the beginning here with Genesis 1. It's got a little name at the top. And it's Onkelos.
Oh.
So that is the Aramaic translation of Onkelos.
I didn't know that.
Yep.
Well, my Aramaic's a little rusty.
Your Aramaic is a little rusty.
Yeah, but I sure would like to read that.
Well, you don't need to. They tell you down here what it says.
Okay.
And I have a Jewish rabbi friend, and he told me it's easy for her to remember his name. Just think of Onkelos.
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 But it's Onkelos.
Onkelos.
Now, I'm going to tell you tomorrow what this Onkelos translation is, because I'm going to read it to you how he translated it. Onkelos defines this as a speaking spirit. In other words, Onkelos says man became, in this, if you could read it, Onkelos said man became a speaking spirit. And then the comment of the sages on this is, Onkelos defines as a speaking spirit. Accordingly, the life that is unique to man and which only God could blow into him is the rational soul that includes the power of intelligent speech. This is what elevates a human above animal life, the ability and therefore the responsibility to use his intelligence and his intelligent speech in God's service. So, Onkelos is the one that said and translated it. I'm going to read you how that translation came to be. Man became a speaking spirit. I hear preachers saying that, but I want to establish the ground that it's on so that you'll know it's not something that we made up.
We'll do that tomorrow.
We'll do that tomorrow.
Great.
What have you done with your gift of intelligent speech?
Hallelujah. Billy and I'll be right back.
Turn right.
Imagine knowing where to go at every turn, how to find your way even if you got lost.
Make a legal U-turn.
And having the confidence that you'll reach your final destination. Most people believe God has a plan for their lives, but with so many roads to choose, how do you know if you're on the right path?
You have arrived at your destination.
In God's Master Plan for Your Life, Gloria Copeland shares 10 keys to fulfill your destiny and help you find and connect to God's perfect will. God has the answers to all of your needs, and He has a personalized plan for every area of your life.
God has a plan for you. And we're told that if we'll seek Him, we'll find it. We'll find Him, and when we find Him, we'll find it. In your personal life, the more time you spend in the Word of God, and the more time you spend talking to God, the more of your master plan you will fulfill.
Gloria's latest book will encourage and inspire you to trust God and believe Him for His plan. God's Master Plan for Your Life is available wherever books are sold. Be sure to get your copy today. Even if you've taken a wrong turn along the way,
recalculating,
God can get you back on course and put you on the right path. Discover God's Master Plan for your life and allow the blessing of God to change your life forever.
God's Master Plan for Your Life. You know, writing a book is kind of like having a baby. I mean, it takes a long time, and then you give birth, and you're all excited. So I want to encourage you to get it. This message has meant so much to me. You know, you can fulfill God's call on your life. And knowing God's plan brings you security, protection to you and your family. You can teach your children. You need to teach this to your children. I wish somebody had taught it to me when I was a child, that I could have walked in the power of God and the blessing of God all the days of my life, but I didn't know about it until I was an adult. So I want to encourage you to get it. It's in bookstores everywhere. It's called God's Master Plan for Your Life. And we want to, I know you're going to enjoy it. I blessed myself writing it. You know, you get into all the research and things and you get stirred up. But God has a plan for you, and it's a good plan. And what Billy and I are teaching this week has to do a lot with how much of that plan we walk in. What we say continually with our mouth is what comes to pass in our life. And you can get these in bookstores all over the United States. Out of the country, out of America, you need to contact the KCM office in your area. But I want to encourage you to get it. And then I want you to let me know how much you like it. I didn't say if you like it. I said how much you like it. Because it's the Word of God.
You have to like the Word.
Let's just pray for the people. Father, mm-hmm. we pray for this audience today. Mm-hmm. We ask you, Lord, to give Billy and me utterance mm-hmm. today and to get this week and to give them hearing so that we all might come up further into the will of God. We want to do your will, Lord. Reveal to us your master plan for our lives and help us, Lord. Empower us as you said you would. We know you will. Empower us to fulfill it. And we give you all the praise and all the glory.
Hallelujah.
Coming up, West Forever. Coast Believers Convention, June the 30th through July the 5th at Long Beach this year instead of Anaheim. New location. You don't want to miss it. It's going to be great. Use your faith and come. Get in the meetings. We're going to have the Word of God. This is Billy Brim and Gloria Copeland reminding you that Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us today on the Believer's Voice of Victory. For a DVD or CD copy of this broadcast, visit our website at kcm.org or call toll-free 800-575-4455. This is the year of fullness of blessing, a time for you to receive the blessing without measure.
And he sent his word to heal you, sent his word to save you, sent his word to fill you, sent his word to love you.
Jump in to the fullness of blessing. Get totally immersed in God's Word at the 2008 West Coast Believers Convention, June 30th to July 5th. This year at a new location, come to the Long Beach Convention Center in Long Beach, California. Join Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, Jerry Savelle, Jesse Duplantis, Creflo Dollar, and Keith Moore for 6 days together with other believers from around the world. Come expecting an encounter with God. With Super Kid Academy for ages 6 through 12 and 1440 for junior high and high school, there's a place for the whole family. To find out more, call 1-800-600-7395 or visit kcm.org. Tomorrow on the Believer's Voice of Victory.
God created his world with words. You are going to create your world with words. You do. You have today what you created yesterday. But thank God you can change today and create immediately for today and tomorrow.